Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And I pray that God is watching over you, keeping you, sustaining, and making sure that His face is shining upon you. And today, by the grace of God, we carry on in the book of Acts, and we have been looking at the journey of the apostles. We have been able to see yesterday how Paul and his team desired to go to Asia. They wanted to go to Asia, they wanted to go to Mysia and to Bithynia, but they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And we looked at the importance of being led by the Holy Spirit in the work of missions, and we called it Spirit-led missions. And this not only involves huge missions, it also involves individualized missions where we speak to one another, where God leads us to speak to people at certain points, to say certain words, knowing that these words are ordained of Him, they are directed of Him, inspired of Him, and have the capacity to influence the hearts of men that God has prepared. And so, because God had refused them to go to Asia at that point, it did not mean necessarily that Paul did not later on go to Asia, and he later on goes there and he has a great harvest there. But you see, God knows who He had prepared, who will stand with Paul in that time. He had prepared Lydia, and the Bible tells us that she was a dealer in purple cloth from Thyatira, and God opened her heart to hear the gospel message. And when her heart was opened, she asked Paul, "Do you consider me a believer? Then come and stay with me." And so we can see that a church is birthed in her house. And when the church is birthed in Macedonia, then in Philippi, then this becomes one of the core founders or the core principles of the Philippian church. Remember, Paul had seen a vision in the night of a man dressed with cloth, dressed like a Macedonian man, calling them. And this is the call for missions. Come and help us. Come and help us. You see, that is what the man was saying. Come over to Macedonia and help us. That is the heart of the men who are in pain, men who are lost in sin, men who are struggling. Their cry is always, come over and help us. If we can hear the cry in the spirit of the unbelievers is, I need help. Many are oppressed under demonic bondages. Many are oppressed by the devil. And only you have the authority, only you have the power by God to be able to set them free and to give them the truth, because you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Now today we are going to look at the aspect of the encounter of Paul and this slave girl. And this slave girl had the spirit of divination. And by the grace of God, we'll be able to make a distinction between the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of divination, because these two are similar in certain ways, but they are different because they come from different sources. So that is what we're going to be able to look at. And maybe we'll read from Acts chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible tells us that now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Now, that's what the Bible is saying, that a certain slave girl, a certain damsel, and this means that she was having a spirit of divination. Now, if you look at that Greek word of that divination, the Greek word is puthon, and from where the analogy of python comes from. And when we say divination, it refers to a spirit by which demonic wisdom is given, or demonic knowledge, or demonic information is given. Now, when they give a divination, or when they give such a spirit, they have utterances, and these utterances are not necessarily from, they might not necessarily be wrong, But you see, it is what is called soothsaying. You find in scripture, there is what is called soothsaying in that it is an utterance of a diviner. Now, divination per se is actually a demonic wisdom or a demonic spirit by which the person that has that spirit is able to communicate to a person things about themselves. And ideally, at times, what they use are familiar spirits. Now, what are familiar spirits? Familiar spirits are spirits that are around families, that know your generation, they know your past, they know your grandfather, their great-great-grandfather, and by that, they're able to predict your future. In a way, they can peep into the future, and they can try and estimate that this is what might happen. Now, you see, these are some of the limitations of the spirit of divination, in that it can tell you of things that are known, things that might be true, and the problem is when you believe it, and then you open up yourself to them, and then they can have more access. And this is a challenge that we have in the church now, in that we have many diviners or many people on the pulpit who are using the spirit of divination, and we think that they have the gift of prophecy, or we think that they have the gift of word of knowledge. And you can find that they have big churches where people come to them and they want to know what the man of God is saying, what is God saying about this situation. And unless we have the Spirit of God, we will not be able to discern or to distinguish whether this spirit is of God or is from the devil, or is the spirit of divination. So the Bible tells us that there was a certain damsel, there was a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, who met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now, another thing that is brought up here about the spirit of divination is that it is characterized by money. Now, whenever you find a ministry that insists that for you to receive a prophecy, you must give money, you must give the prophet some money, you must drop some money first before a prophecy is given to you, then you know that you're dealing with the spirit of divination. You can see the Bible tells us that she brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The focus is money, and you will see how if you give a seed of this amount of money, then you can be prophesied to, and without any money, they will not offer you any service. But you see, God tells us that freely you have received, freely give. So one of the ways that you can be able to identify the spirit of divination is the aspect of money. And these are actually called the wages of unrighteousness. And when you think of Balaam, the Bible says that he has erred into the ways of unrighteousness. He has followed the ways of unrighteousness when he is seeking the rewards of unrighteousness. And just to go back to what we're looking at, and maybe just read the part and then we can be able to discuss more. The Bible says, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, Having received a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, we've been looking at this spirit of divination, and we are seeing what are some of the characteristics of it. So what have we said so far? That the spirit of divination is actually a branch of demonic wisdom, where the devil deals with knowledge. He has certain truths that he knows, and this could be things that are in your bloodline, this could be things that are in your ancestors, and or things that you have done. They are aware of what you ate yesterday, they are aware of how much money you have, they are aware of, you know, of wrong things that you did. So when they tell you this, it is not telling you something that is not known in the spirit world. This is known. Why? Because everything is bare. Now, when they tell you, and for you, you think, oh, this man is accurate, and you offer yourself, then you open up yourself and grant them access. Now, there's something that you also see. The slave girl went and followed after Paul and us, shouting, these are servants of God, and they're showing you the way of salvation. One of the things that you will think that is that, was it not an advertisement? Were they not saying the truth? Was it not important that people to know that these are servants of the Most High God who are showing the way of salvation? If you look at that statement that the slave girl was saying, or through that spirit, it was accurate, because they were, speaking of Paul and us, including Luke, he says they were servants of God. And for sure, they were showing you the way of salvation. That tells you that the spirit of divination might give accurate prophecies. It might give accurate knowledge, but it is a question of the source. Remember when Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, he tells them that you are of your father, the devil. And the word there is oek. That means of your father. The origin of that utterance is from the devil. Now, the utterance might be true, but because it is true, it does not mean that it is from the spirit of truth. Now, this is very important to distinguish. Just because someone is accurate in telling you of a dream, or telling you that now you're getting a new job, or they have always given you direct dreams or prophecies about you and they're accurate, it does not mean that they are of God. Because someone may say that which is true, but it does not necessarily come from the spirit of truth. Now, we are not supposed to believe every spirit, and the Bible tells us to test every spirit and see if they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, another thing that you see is the spirit of divination could say the right thing, but not from the right spirit. And then also, it seemed that the speakings of the slave girl were interrupting the message of Paul. You can imagine Paul is preaching and someone is just shouting, there, these are servants of the Most High God. They are showing you their salvation. These are servants of the Most High God. Now, if this person with the spirit of divination, or if they had the right spirit, the Bible tells us that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, and there is order in the house of the Lord. Now, this slave girl is constantly shouting, and for many days she is interrupting the flow of the service. And you see, it shows us also that the devil is not afraid of church. That means he's not afraid of the presence. Remember, the devil goes up to heaven. Think of the time of Job, when the sons of God came to present himself, to present themselves before God. Even the devil came and presented himself. And God asked him, where are you coming from? And he says, I've come from the earth, moving to and fro, up and down. And then he's told, have you considered my servant Job? So the spirit of divination is not afraid of the presence of God or being in a church. Why? Because It is not afraid. It can. It in fact, many times it hides in the churches. And you can think that someone in the church is prophesying with the Spirit of God when the rest are actually prophesying with the spirit of divination. And that is why it takes discernment to be able to know the truth. Now, why was this slave girl following them up? It is because the spirit of divination will always want to connect itself to true servants of God so that it can be affirmed as true. That is why you'll find false prophets will try to invite true men of God and take pictures with them so that they can be affirmed that they're actually men of God. And unfortunately, you can find certain senior men of God have affirmed false prophets to be true, and thus the congregations, their congregations, are handed over to wolves and to wrong prophets. As a servant of God, if God has given you a congregation, you must have the sensitivity of the Spirit of God to know who and you can invite on your altar to speak to your people. I remember a certain story of where a servant of God invited a certain prophet to come and preach to the congregation, and God showed him in a dream that he had invited someone that was molesting his sheep. And for that, it became clear that he was polluting his altar. Now, another thing that we see about this spirit of divination is that they're actually protected by cartels. They use force to fight. And you can see immediately the spirit was cast out. The Bible says they arrested Paul and accused them of destroying everything that they do. Why? Because they saw that they are not going to get much profit again. Their source of profit was taken away. One of the things that the Bible also tells us is that this, you know, this spirit of divination, one of the things that it does is that these are men who reject authority and they defile the flesh. Whenever you find that someone, yes, is accurate in prophecies, but they are living a lifestyle of immorality, then it can tell you that this person is not operating from the right spirit. Because these spirits of divination always want specific sacrifices, and some of them involve immorality. They are fueled or they are funded by immorality. We have a responsibility, as Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits, not by their gift. Gift is deceptive because even Satan comes, the man of lawlessness comes with the working of certain miracles and signs that even if possible, the elect will be deceived. I tell you, we are living in the last days, and in the last days we are warned that many false prophets and false Christs will have come, and they will deceive many. So one of the things that you will need to follow is the lifestyle. Consider the outcome of their ways. What is their fruit? Because those that are of God have a fruit of humility, have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, familiar spirits can tell you of the past, but they cannot tell you of the future. Although they might predict a bit, they can peep. The Bible tells us that they are peeping spirits. They can peep into the future. But you see, there is still a wisdom of God that is hidden from them. Remember, the Bible tells us that if the rulers of this age had known that by crucifying Jesus, they would have released salvation to men, they would not have done it. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We are not supposed to be scared about the devil. Because in Christ we are protected, in Christ we are covered, in Christ we are sheltered, and in Christ he has defeated every power of the evil one, and he is under our feet. But the Bible tells us that we must be careful of the wiles, of the schemes of the devil. And some of the schemes of the devil easily come through the spirit of divination. May God give us understanding. May God give us insight. May God reveal to us the true and the false prophets. May God help us that we do not treat true prophecies with contempt, but we test all spirits. The Bible gives us many guidance about prophecies. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 to 22, it says, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." For us to be on the right track when dealing with the spirit of divination, distinguishing spirit of divination and the spirit of prophecy, is we must check its alignment with the Word of God. Yes, that is one test, accuracy with the Word of God. Number two, we must also query the fruit. What is the fruit of the person that is saying this? Do their lifestyles reflect the heart of God? Do they reflect the life of God? We must also look out for certain associations with practices that are not biblical. When you find someone is telling you to buy this anointing oil or to buy this holy water, holy rice, holy slippers, you know, when you see certain things that are not in love, someone is making people to eat grass or to drink petrol. There are things that are not in line with the heart of God. This is to tell you that you are dealing with the spirit of divination or the spirit of witchcraft. Someone is asking you to eat grass. That is not in love. There are things that God allows in love. Even when God has found out something or God knows something about you and reveals it to a prophet acting in love might deal with you privately because he knows the impact of what he will say, what it might have on you and also on the family members. Also, look at the aspect of rewards. These that insist, drop the money first before we prophesy. These that insist, "I'm going to prophesy to you, bring an offering of this amount, this amount, this amount. I'm going to prophesy." And of course, they will always start saying that, "You know, I usually don't do this." Let us be careful. Let us be careful. There are wolves in sheep clothing. Beware, beware, beware. The Spirit of Christ is warning us. Beware. Just because they are accurate does not mean they're speaking from the Spirit of God. Paul was vexed in his spirit. There is a grieving in your spirit that comes. And these are what are some of the spiritual signs that we were talking about yesterday, that there are certain signs that God will give you when you are in the wrong place. And when you have learned to walk with him, you will know that I am dealing with the wrong spirit. You can just go and you know that, no, I'm not supposed to be here. Never despise such warnings from the Spirit. You might not be able to put a finger on it. Why do you feel that this person is wrong? Why should not listen to this person? But trust the Spirit of truth within you. The Bible says when the Spirit of truth comes, he shall guide you into all truth. Trust the Spirit of God to guide you. He will guide you even in signs like that. Later on, you will see in future that there was a reason why you were uneasy when you are listening to this person, because everything that is hidden will be laid bare and the Lord will make sure that all the secrets of men are revealed. I pray that God will give us wisdom into all this, that we may not fall prey. And indeed, if in case you have fallen prey, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is able to restore. The Lord is able to open your eyes. And the Lord is able to break every covenant and every bondage that you have tied yourself to. And I pray in this moment that God will set us free and set you free. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the wisdom that you've given us in looking at the word today. that you have taught us, that you have opened our eyes to see errors, to see where our eyes have been blinded by divination, by those that are using wrong spirits. And may we not be blinded by our own desires of just having someone to prophesy to us, that we open up ourselves to familiar spirits and to diviners and to wizards and to witches who, through manipulation, can speak words that are true, but they are not from the spirit of truth. I plead your mercies over everyone that has been impacted or has opened up themselves to them. May you restore them. May you restore them. I break every covenant. I break such covenants in the name of Jesus. I break such demonic impartations in the name of Jesus. I set them free in the name of Jesus. And I speak the blood of Jesus to reign. By virtue of the blood, let the blood speak. Let the blood of Jesus speak a new thing, oh God. I pray where eyes have been covered by mist, where through sorcery that they have bewitched the whole cities, I pray that their eyes be open, that the cities be open, that indeed men shall have discernment to see that which is of God and that which is of the devil. I pray for eyes to be open, understanding to be open, O God. I pray where men's hearts have been dulled, that, Lord, they may be vexed. They may arise and stand and take their place, O God. I pray for the rising up of true prophets, the true prophetic spirit that speaks from the right waters, from the right source, that men may be edified and established in truth. I pray for your children. Watch over them, protect them, keep them. Provide healing where it is needed. Provide resources, blessings to your children. May they see increase all around them. May they receive the protection of God. May they walk under the shadow of the Almighty. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.